You're listening to the Mojo Record Club.
I'm Andrew Mail, and you're listening to the Mojo Record Club, a place where music lovers, musicians, crate diggers, writers, readers, and special guests get to share their love for classic albums, weird lost gems, and brand new revelations. Welcome to the Mojo Record Club Review, where we get to talk about our favourite new releases. My guest today is Mojo Associate Editor Jenny Bully.
Hello.
Hello, Jenny. What is your record of the week?
Oh,
what
Andrew, record have you brought in for us? Bring you awe and wonder in the form of Cassandra Jenkins, and her new album is called My Light, My Destroyer, and that is on the Dead Oceans label.
And can you tell us a bit about Cassandra Jenkins, who she is, and where Mojo readers might have previously sort of heard her or come across her?
She is a New Yorker. She has played with Eleanor Friedberger's band. Eleanor Friedberger, who's a big favourite of certain people at Mojo. Her previous album is called An Overview on Phenomenal Nature, which I know is a record you are very fond of.
Hugely fond.
Yeah, me too. And funnily enough, after that record, she had decided to quit music, by all accounts. And then that album went on to be so well received, she was forced to reconsider. And I'm very grateful that she did, because I think she made one attempt to follow the record up, which she wasn't happy with. So she abandoned that and then recorded this record we have here, which, as the title kind of suggests, you get a sense of her sort of universal concerns, both personal and existential. And it's a very lovely kind of folk record tinged with jazz and full of kind of watchful, well-observed details and a lot of vulnerability. There's a sort of searching for succor on a lot of tracks, but also something a bit more transcendental. The phrase alternate healing modalities pops up in the record's notes. And which, yes, I think we're all at home to that. And she studied design at college, and apparently different tracks have like a different colour match for her. Reviewed this record, I know, when we reviewed the record in Mojo, she had said, well, do you know which tracks they're going to be talking about? Because I will choose a photo and edit the colours that go with the tracks you're talking about. And I'm very sorry to say that she ran out of time to do that. So we don't actually have a colour matched image, but I know.
I hope it doesn't affect people's chakra in a negative way.
I don't
when they
think
see the
so, no.
Match.
I think the sort of synesthetic elements of it will still come through very strongly.
Good.
But, you know, that's where we are. It's that, that kind of thing.
And it's kind of, I mean, we should really listen to a track first.
Yes.
Let's listen to one of the standout tracks from the album, My Light, My Destroyer. This is Petco, written by Cassandra Jenkins, from My Light, My Destroyer, released on July the 12th on Dead Oceans. Okay. Now,
that's a lovely song.
It's a beautiful song, isn't it?
It is.
No, sorry,
again, it's about kind of loneliness and self-examination wrapped up in this sort of lovely kind of allegory about looking at animals in a pet store and wondering whether it's fair to take one home to keep you company. There's a line which says, "It's become my second nature to wander through the pet store. I wander through the past asking, what is my true nature? I don't want to take you home just because I'm trying to be less alone."
Oh, that's one of the things I love about her songs, that they often start in a very kind of what seems like a standard singer-songwriter format. The melodies seem familiar, the sort of lyrical constructions seem familiar, yet by the time you're halfway in, you're in a completely different place melodically, lyrically, narratively. She plays games with you. She thinks, you know, there's a sense in which you feel that you're in a familiar place, a familiar world of like the female singer-songwriter, and yet she is constantly playing sort of emotional and psychological and psychedelic trips on you. I loved her 2021 LP, An Overview of Phenomenal Nature. I loved how, yes, it was a singer-songwriter album, but it also folded in bits of spoken word, samples, drum loops, field recordings, new age synth drones. And I was really moved by the fact that it was centered around a specific period in her life that also hit me hard, the summer of 2019, when she was about to join David Berman of Silver Jews and Purple Mountains on his comeback tour, when she heard the news that he'd taken his own life. And it was a deeply odd period because I knew David as well, and I was meant to be doing a feature with him for Mojo that didn't happen. And so it was a very kind of unhappy and dislocated time that kind of then had subsequent repercussions in my own life. And it's a strange and dreamlike and utterly unique record. So initially, listen to this new one, I was kind of taken back by how musically straightforward it seemed at first, almost kind of, I'm thinking generic Americana country rock, nice, but where's all the ghostly wooziness that defined the previous album? But ultimately, I think the brilliance of Cassandra Jenkins and the brilliance of her songs and her songwriting is that, and I'm going to invoke another favorite female singer-songwriter, Amy Mann, she uses these straightforward song structures to write about depression, nothingness, trauma, but also the everyday details of normal life. And she brings to them this poetry and intelligence that is exceptionally strong. And the great thing about this album is as you listen to it, gradually your preconceptions start to crack open and in different directions and different forms. And she starts to, like the previous album, as you say, she starts to bring in ambient jazz, new age pop. You hear Joni Mitchell, you hear the Rachels, you hear bits of spoken word samples, you hear, you can imagine part of it is like a short story in the New Yorker or something. Mm. And so capturing this kind of psychedelia of the everyday. So kind of like the last album, it disarmed me. I thought it was one thing. It's another thing.
No, I think that's right.
It changes, it catches you out, it surprises you. It's incredibly intelligent, but also profoundly emotional.
I think she's very good at that kind of poetic lyricism that sounds conventional and like a kind of confessional indie folk record. But then when you sort of squint a bit, the words are full of sophisticated imagery, but they make a conventional sense too. And I think a great example of that on this record is that track called Only One, which sounds just like a very pretty, plain love song. And then it contains lines like, stick figure syphysis behind massage parlor window glass. I
mean, so, you know, you realize that she is a poet, and she is, you know, probably also a writer of short stories, and that she's bringing those elements almost sort of Trojan horse-like into these what songs that seem very standard singer-songwriter fare. And I think one of the joys of that then, I mean, I think at the moment this is an album I like, but I think it's eventually going to become an album that I love, like the last one, because it never fully explains itself. It's never fully understandable. It's never fully kind of coherent. So you're always going to be finding new things in it. It's always going to surprise you. It's never going to be finished or fixed.
Mm. She's talked about Bowie's Black Star being an influence, and you know, as you said, there's the ambient jazz that you can hear, but there's also that feeling that you could just decode this forever.
Yes, absolutely. That she's she's placed these, and also you can hear the influence of David Berman. You can hear the fact that she, you know, loved this person and loved his songwriting and his skill, and you know, loved the idea that, you know, Berman wrote songs, as he said in one of his own songs, as kind of rooms for you to live in and explore. And her songs feel like that as well. They feel like sort of places that you can just stay forever. Yeah, I love this record. Yeah. So thanks for bringing it on.
Could we do another song, or have we got to stop there?
Yeah, no, I mean, if you wanted to play another song off the album, which one? I've chosen one. Which one would you choose?
Well, I had chosen Petco too, so, but I also, I would choose Beetlejuice. It starts with this kind of very long sound clip of herself and her mother, who's a science teacher, and they're looking at the night sky through binoculars, and her mum's pointing out Mars and how bright Venus is. and something about an asteroid the size of a skyscraper. And it's really touching, but it's set to this kind of spacey ambient backing with kind of piano and clarinet and static, and it's just quite brilliant. And she talks a lot in the notes about staying in touch with a sense of awe, which is what that title, the album title, is about. And there's nothing more awesome than, you know, looking at the stars. So
this is Beetlejuice, written by Cassandra Jenkins from her album My Light, My Destroyer, released on Dead Oceans.
That's Mars. Do you see where it's really reddish?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And that one is so bright. Look, Venus. Look at it. It's crazy how bright that is.
What about that one?
That's Betelgeuse. That's part of Orion.
The Mojo Record Club.
Okay, my choice is the new album from Kentucky country polymath Sturgill Simpson. But he's not recording as Sturgill Simpson. He is recording under his new identity of Johnny Blue Skies. Now, the first time I heard Sturgill Simpson was on his second album, 2014's Metamodern Sounds in Country Music, which kind of updated Merle Haggard's outlaw country sound, but with a sort of psychedelic George Jones countrypolitan production. And it was my sweet spot in terms of country music. I love Merle Haggard, I love George Jones, I love Willie Nelson. It seemed to kind of bring all those elements in, but with a very modern approach. However, after that, I was not happy with the direction that he went. I really hated his next album, Sailor's Guide to Earth, which sounded so sort of muddy and confused and overblown. And his subsequent efforts at sort of genre subversion just kind of felt like somebody who found a particular kind of country songwriting easy to do and was constantly finding ways to make things more interesting and difficult for himself. This new album, however, I love. Actually, can you hear that behind me? If anyone's wondering what the Lancome-like drone it is that's running through my discussion of Sturgill Simpson, it's actually a tree surgeon outside my house, sort of cutting down various overgrown trees. So apologies, unless you like that kind of sound in your music, but in which case you're welcome to it. But anyway, back to Sturgill. He's ditched what I think was the sort of fake-sounding Stax horns and ZZ Top guitars of 2019 Sound and Fury. And he's gone back to the rich, deep well of 70s Merle Haggard, mixed in with the soft 70s country rock sound of bands like Poco and people like Dan Fogelberg. But as well as that kind of those retro references, lyrically and production-wise, it sounds incredibly modern. Let's hear a little bit from the album. This is the amazing track Jupiter's Fairy by Johnny Blue Skies, aka Sturgill Simpson, from the album Passage du Désir, released on High Top Mountain Records.
I'm sorry I wasn't there, wish I'd known. I would have tried to give you love. It'd been so long since I'd shown. Then had I, maybe you'd be here today, suffering and crushing, sadness in its way. But in my heart, I guess I always knew.
Well, Andrew, I really like this record. It took me a few plays, I think, but unlike you, I did like A Sailor's Guide to Earth. I do think so that's a very kind of moving record, and it turned out to be a very, very successful record for him. He won a Grammy for the best country album for it, and I think it was nominated for Album of the Year as well. But you know, like Lancome, his ability to kind of bring unlikely musical poles and audiences together is second to none, although I just said like Lancome, so that's not true. But yeah. But you know what I mean? It's an extraordinary thing. There are tracks on here, like there's a great track called The Right Kind of Dream, which is closer to like the Police's old pop music, or, you know, The War on Drugs. It's very expansive. And then there's an extraordinary closing song, which is kind of starts off a kind of quite straightforward country song and then turns into this awesome kind of 5-minute guitar coda that's sort of psychedelic and quite Peter Greenish, just beautiful. I mean, for me, the whole, I started listening and thought, yeah, okay, it's another country record. I may or may not be up for this. And then it kind of pivots round about Jupiter's Fairy, sort of in the fourth spot. Absolutely amazing.
Yeah, incredible track.
Gorgeous kind of plaintive country song about regret and, you know, love, and but with a great line about fairies in space. And it reminds me a little bit of when John Grant used to write songs like that, that kind of this big soaring chorus in a slightly kind of...
The album that John Grant did with Midlake, when there was still that sort of country rock element to his lyrics. I think you're absolutely right. I think that's a really good comparison point. And if, like me, you feel that, you know, no John Grant album has ever quite come close to that album, which was
Queen of Denmark,
wasn't it? Then I think you're absolutely right. Then I think kind of this Sturgill Simpson album is for you. And I think the thing that I love about it is if you're a country diehard, there is something about Simpson's voice that will always kind of push those buttons in terms of kind of that you feel that he is the real deal. Yet he is constantly experimenting, constantly sort of pushing the boundaries of the genre. And I think kind of with an artist like him, you know, kind of it's, I think in a way it's expected that, you know, there will be people who loved Sailor's Guide to Earth who may not like this record. And there will be people who loved his bluegrass records that, you know, kind of maybe didn't like other records. And I think with him, it's kind of, you can't stop him constantly kind of experimenting and sort of pushing the boundaries and everything. There's going to be some records you like more than others. This one is right in, as the kids say, my wheelhouse. Yeah. You know, it's kind of, it's right there in terms of all the sounds that I want. But like Cassandra Jenkins, he is playing with genre, but he's using it as a space to experiment and sort of push the boundaries. But if you are comfortable with that genre, if you want the comfort of country music, or if you want the comfort of that kind of Americana singer-songwriting that Cassandra Jenkins does, you get that. Mm. But you also get something so much more as well, which means that I think both these albums have a richness. They kind of, they give you the satisfaction of genre, but they also do something else that's kind of poetic and lyrical and experimental.
Yeah, I mean, we've sort of slightly glossed over the Sound and the Fury, which was his total handbrake turn into synthesized rock with an anime film attached to it, which actually got made, quite possibly bankrupting Elektra in the process. And then, and after which, of course, he left his major label deal and was very disillusioned with the music industry. And subsequently, he's now got his own label and just has, you know, distribution deals through kind of label services. So he's now properly independent as well. And you can tell...
And he said somewhere that he's no longer going to record as Sturgill Simpson as well. Yeah. I don't know how true that is, because his forthcoming tour has been announced as a Sturgill Simpson tour. I think it would possibly be a mistake if he announced it as a Johnny Blue Sky tour. But there is certainly something that he wants to sort of put behind him and put at the back of him and move on. But as a statement of intent, as I think kind of in his review in a forthcoming issue of Mojo, John sort of Mulvey invokes sort of Ziggy Stardust, you know, and kind of that sort of Bowie playing around with identities. And I think that's fair, but I think as a statement of intent, as a kind of, you know, this is the new me, I think it's brilliant. I really do. I think it's music of such invention and confidence that I think kind of everyone is going to want to come with him on this, you know, new journey.
Yes, exactly right. Because, you know, playing with aliases does not mean necessarily that you're having an identity crisis. And this is an incredibly confident record. And, you know, it's
brilliant. Well, they both are. They're both doing something very similar. They're both taking the familiar and rethinking it and repurposing it and satisfying on a basic level, but also satisfying on a kind of experimental and intellectual level.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think, as you and I know, it's very rare that an album like that comes along, and it's especially rare that two come along in the same week.
Amazing.
So I think we should be very pleased about it.
July the 12th or whatever it is.
Hooray! Okay, you have been listening to Jenny Bully and myself, Andrew Mayle. That was the Mojo Record Club review. We hope to see you at the next one. Please look in the episode description for the full details of all the tracks we played. And don't forget to like and subscribe.
You've been listening to the Mojo Record Club. Mojo Record.